Before I introduce everybody this morning, I want to ask you all to go to the Mr. Car Wash on Speedway and Country Club, get your car washed, and buy a calendar. All the proceeds today are going to go to the medical bills for one of our TPD canines, Nova. He has valley fever. He's not doing that great, and his medicals are adding up. So everybody line up, go get your car washed so we can have a nice thunderstorm this weekend. And don't forget to go to lawmatters1030.org and buy your tickets for the event, the Sunday Brunch Lecture Series, on the 8th of September. We'll be talking about sex trafficking, which will be the topic next week, and everything you need to know to keep your kids safe. I have a whole bunch of people in the studio this morning. I have Frankie. Yes. I have Jay.
Good morning.
Mike.
Good morning.
And Keith.
Good morning.
Jay, you're going to have to talk into the microphone. I have to pull up. Yeah. Okay. There's a lot going on with the VA and the transition team. Start me off.
All right. So I'm Mike Ramsey. I'm with the Transition Care Management Program. I'm going to give a quick overview of kind of the VA in general. Unfortunately, a lot of our veterans, even if they went through the TAP class, Transition Assistance Program, don't really understand. There's three branches of the VA. So it's the VHA, Veterans Health Administration, and what we do, and this is where we all fall under that are here in studio today, we're sort of like the body shop or the car repairman. Our job is to kind of patch them up, get them running, and get them back on the road. We do the medical portion of it.
Okay.
And then there's the benefits side, the VBA, Veterans Benefits Administration. So that's for folks that have filed for service-connected disability, if they're using their VA home loans, if they're using their education benefits. Those fall under the Veterans Benefits Administration, VBA. And then, of course, the NCA is the National Cemetery Agency. And that one, of course, is pretty self-explanatory. But a lot of our veterans do get confused between the VHA and the VBA. So we wanted to kind of put that out there.
Yeah, I'm glad you did. And you mentioned VA loans.
Yes.
Does the government own a mortgage company called VA Loan?
My name is Keith Hamlin, Tucson Vet Center. No, the VA does not own a mortgage company or give out loans. The VA home loan actually acts like a co-signer to help veterans get a lower interest rate and help them get a house with zero down.
And better benefits and better fees. And if somebody comes on to you and says, I am a VA loan officer, they're lying. Yep. Just throwing that out there because I am a loan officer and I know the difference.
Yes.
And I've heard so many horrible stories. There's a lot of ads that, you know, we support the VA or we support first responders. And if you shop and compare, you might find out you'll get a better price for somebody who's not exploiting you on the TV ad. So, okay, I want to know why Jeff and Frankie are here. Their specific mission.
Yeah, so Jay and Frankie are here from the mission at, or care or community care is what it's called now, right, guys?
Chris.
And what they're doing is they want to talk about the Mission Act, which just came on board on June 6th. It was enacted.
Okay, I want you to speak into the microphone, and it's adjustable, so you can pull it up to your face, and talk to into the microphone, please.
I will. Go ahead. Frankie, go ahead and start us out.
Okay.
So the Mission Act came into play with the VA June 6th. It took over what was called the Choice Program. So the Mission Act has many moving parts. It's going to work. You know, we're still sending the veterans out into the community, but the eligibility factors have changed. For example, now for primary care and mental health, the veteran, if they have to wait 20 days, they could be eligible for primary care or mental health in the community. Now, if they have to wait to be seen at the VA 28 days, then they're eligible for any specialty clinics like orthopedic, GI, those type of clinics. Also, the driving before through the Choice Program, it was driving distance was 40 miles to the closest facility. Now, to get seen in the community, if you have to drive 30 minutes, you qualify for primary care to get to that appointment. If you have to drive, again, 30 minutes it qualifies you to be seen on the community for primary care. If you have to drive an hour, now that qualifies you for any specialty clinic. Everything that is transpires from this Mission Act still has to be vetted and approved through the VA. So keep that in mind. It still requires a consult, still requires a pre-authorization from your VA provider. It could be from your primary care doctor or your specialty clinic. But as we all know, you still have to go through your primary care doctor to get to the specialty clinic. So it's a little confusing, but at least these four eligibility factors are going to open up the doors a little bit for the veterans and make it easier for your care. The biggest one of all this Mission Act that's coming up and it's going to definitely help out the veteran is the new urgent care. So urgent care is, you could get seen in the community through our urgent care in-network providers. There is a website that I will mention here shortly. But the way it works, the urgent care is, if you get seen at the VA, some of us have copays and some of us don't have copays, depending on if you're service connected, if you're under the national threshold as far as income that you report to the VA, or if you're over the national threshold, then you would have to pay that copay. So really quickly, for those that understand the priority groups for VA purposes and how you receive care at the VA. If you're service connected and are in priority groups 1 through 5 through urgent care in the community, you would not have to pay any copays for the first 3 visits. That includes priority group 5, because that priority group is actually when you fall under the national threshold. So that's the first 3 visits are free. The fourth one, moving forward, you have to pay a $30 copay, regardless if you're service connected or not. It's just this is the significant importance to understand that about the urgent care. So, anyways, going on to priority group 6, which is combat related. If you get seen in their urgent care facilities in network, if it's anything you get seen for combat related, you will not have to pay those copays for the first 3 visits. After that, you would have to pay the $30. For the rest of the priority groups, 7 and 8, you would have to pay $30 copay from your first visit at an urgent care. So the website I want to mention to you, because it gives good information as far as documents you could print out and take with you, so there's no questions who's going to pay for your care, how to get your prescriptions, and also helps you locate certain in-network providers in this website. So it's www.vaurgentcarelocator.triwest.com. Once again, I'm going to repeat it once again, www.vaurgentcarelocator.triwest.com. If you have any questions, feel free to give us a call. You could reach us in VA Community Care. We are at 520-792-1450, extension 6555.
Well, you say go out into the community. You're referring to doctors or medical personnel that are not in the VA hospital or VA medical facility.
Correct. It's just community providers in the community that basically would be able to take care of that medical care that we cannot provide those services, or we're
in a timely manner.
Yeah, or the timely manner, or sometimes we just don't have the facilities or the doctors that provide that type of care.
Okay, so but they still have to have a referral from a VA, from their primary VA doctor, right?
Correct.
Okay, can that be done over the phone?
No.
Okay.
And with the exception of the urgent care program, of course. So the,
okay.
So for the urgent care, that does not require pre-authorization.
Correct.
To me, just as a veteran and somebody working at the VA hospital, to me, this is the largest benefit. At least locally, I can say, you know, that's one of the complaints that a lot of our veterans did have in the past, where maybe we couldn't get them in to see the primary care doc as quickly as we'd like to.
Right.
And it's not an emergency. So, you know, if you go to the emergency rooms, all it does is clog up the emergency rooms. So this, I think, is going to be a huge benefit for our veterans.
To help everybody.
Yeah. And just one thing to note, for eligibility to utilize the urgent care, you have to make sure that you've been seen within the VA with the VA provider within the last 2 years, and then that'll grant you your urgent care eligibility. But if you reference that website that Frank mentioned earlier, that will tell you which urgent cares are in the system, and that's important because if you actually go to an urgent care that's not in the system and not connected with this program, you will actually be liable for those charges. So please go on that website, make sure that you verify this is an eligible urgent care. And like I say, if you have any questions, please call us at the 520-792-1450, and our extension is 6555.
I'd like to add one thing. Before you go to the urgent care, print out the three pages. One's for pharmacy, one's for doctor, and one's for urgent care. It will help the urgent care know how to bill the VA, and it will save the veteran a lot of hassle.
Okay, when we come back, I want everybody that's listening to get pencils and paper, because we're going to give you a lot of websites, a lot of phone numbers, and we want you to be able to take some notes and keep it with you, and we're going to take a quick break. Our guests today are the VA transition team, and Frankie was giving us some information. Just before we left, we talked about the three pages they should take with them. Where do you find those three pages, and talk about the other stuff you were talking?
So, sorry, for those that didn't get that website, it's the website you need to go and print out those three pages. It just saves you so much more time to take with you when you're going to the urgent cares in the community. And also will give you, again, the location closest to your home for those in-network providers or urgent cares. So, once again, the website is www.vaurgentcare.com. locator.triwest.com. Earlier, I failed to mention as well that the $30 copay that you would have to pay for urgent care, it is billed by the VA, not the urgent care, when you come into your visit. Usually the billing comes out every 18th of the month. So just for those that do use it, or use it on the fourth visit for those that don't have to pay the first three, the bill should come out to you, mailed to you on the 18th of the month. One other thing, as far as referrals that we mentioned, that everyone has to get a referral to be seen in the Mission Act out in the community for care. We have three direct scheduling clinics that you're eligible to call directly without a referral from your primary care doctor. And those clinics would be the eye clinic, audiology clinic, and podiatry clinic.
Okay. That's a lot of information. I have a question. What if you're eligible for VA medical care and you work for a company that offers medical, so you've got medical through your company, can you use both or one or the other? How does that work?
Yeah, absolutely. You definitely can. Just one does not exclude you from utilizing the other one. So it kind of depends on how you want to use it also. If you're eligible for VA care, we'd love to see you for the VA, you know, to take care of our vets. That's what we want to do.
Right.
Oftentimes it's cheaper. Either there's no copays or pretty minimal copays if you do have to use it. But having other insurance does provide you other options as well, because as we've been talking about, you can't just go to any provider that you want to out in the community. And same with other insurances too,
sure.
Really. You can't just
absolutely
go anywhere. It's got to be a network provider generally.
Right.
But if you do want to keep your private insurance as well, it's not a bad idea. The other thing is, if you have family members, VA, we will only treat the veterans.
Right.
So, you know, if you do have family members, you definitely want to have an additional insurance to cover them also.
Okay. That makes sense. And on this flyer that you gave me, on the bottom it says missionact.va.gov. Is that basically the same website that you're all talking about, or are they different?
That's actually more the government. So that's going to give you more access to different veteran benefits and veteran services. The locator is really primarily just focused on finding urgent cares that are in the system.
In this region?
Actually, it's nationwide.
Okay.
So what you'll do is you actually go on there and you place your zip code, and it'll identify in-network urgent cares within a certain distance that you determine in your neighborhood. The missionactva.gov website actually is going to give you more of a national perspective, and it is more of literature and text, where the VA urgent care locator is more of finding facilities. And then also there's a link on there as well that helps you find pharmacies that are also in network. So if you go and get your any scripts you get during that urgent care visit, then those will actually be billed to TriWest.
Okay.
And just that's an important note, that if you get a 14-day script, you want to make sure that you can actually get that in the community, and then that bill for those medications will be billed to TriWest. If you get a script larger than 14 days, you want to make sure you take that into your VA facility so the VA will fill that.
Okay, you're saying script. You're talking a prescription?
I'm sorry, yes, pharmacy prescriptions.
All that local lingo going on, you know right. How it is. Okay, what I'm going to do, if I have permission, is actually photograph these and put it on our website so people have another resource to look at what we're talking about.
Please do.
Okay, sounds good. What other trouble have you been getting into?
Oh, lots of trouble. We got lots of lots of stuff going on always. I know suicide prevention is always a hot topic.
Yes.
So the VA continually works to try to reduce. I mean, we'd love to eliminate suicide altogether, of course, amongst veterans. However, it's not just a VA problem as well. It's a nationwide problem or a worldwide problem, and not just veterans. But the suicide prevention team is having a awareness resource fair on September 20th. This will be at the VA Auditorium. The VA is located at 3601 South 6th Avenue. And the auditorium is building 4. And the times for that are 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. This isn't for folks coming in for a crisis. This is just for anybody that wants to get more information on what resources are out there to help prevent suicides.
So if you're living with a vet, or you know a vet, or you're working with one, and you just feel like they might benefit from something like this, this is not just for veterans, this is for people to help the vets they know.
Absolutely.
Get them information and some resources to make things all better. Because you can't just come back from overseas from a mission and turn it off.
Exactly.
It doesn't work that way. I go home from work and I can't turn it off.
Right.
You know, so, you know, I can't imagine how that would be.
There's many programs like My Veteran Passion that through socialization and fitness will actually try and reduce the amount of veteran suicides. So if there's a veteran out there that wants to work out every Friday from 5 to 7, they have physical fitness coach there. It's camaraderie, socialization, and you can either go to their Facebook page, My Veteran Passion, or you can show up on Friday at 625 South Plummer Drive, Tucson, Arizona, 85719, and that's Templo Fitness. Now, also Team Red, White, and Blue, they do socialization events and physical fitness. I recommend using them. There are so many things out there for veterans to build that camaraderie again and not isolate themselves, and that will help reduce the amount of suicides.
Okay, you said 5 to 7. Is that morning or evening?
Evening, p.m., sorry.
Okay. That's all right. I didn't want to be there waiting for 12 hours.
That's right. Yes.
just in case.
Military, hurry up and wait.
That's right.
Yeah. Oh, so you should be used to it.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay. What other benefits? I mean, you're talking about a transition that you guys are going through to this new program. Can you talk more about the new program?
I can. And one of the points to really talk about is when you want to get involved with going out into the community for care, and once again, we want to focus that we want people to go into the VA system to receive their care at the VA, You know, there's a huge push to choose a VA, but we do realize that sometimes services are not available. And just as a point of notation that if you want to have that conversation, the best person to have that with is your primary care provider. So reach out to them first and ask questions about community care and determine if that's the best route for you to go as far as how to get to your care and where to. Because what will happen is that primary care provider is the first person that will initiate that consult to send us to get you out in the community. So that conversation starts with your primary care provider.
Okay, Frank?
Yeah, so I just want to add a couple things as well. Just keep in mind as we implement the new Community Care Network or the Mission Act between now and 2020, it's our focus.
You only have a couple of months.
Yeah. So I want to mention to you where our transition is, where we will actually be doing all of your scheduling of appointments in the community. There's not going to be a third party involved in this process anymore. So keep that in mind. So it's going to be more fully hands-on VA. Again, like Jay said, we do want to choose VA. So if possible, you know, we do have excellent doctors that could provide your care at the VA. But this, of course, Mission Act is going to open up the doors, as mentioned earlier, for many veterans to get their care. Keep also in mind that any VA appointment in the community, if you're eligible for beneficial travel expenses, you will qualify for reimbursement or qualify for beneficial travel expenses. You just have to turn in your appointments to beneficial travel so you could get reimbursed for those miles that you drive. And it's miles from your house to the appointment and back. So it's round trip.
I know when my mom was still alive, she used the VA here in Tucson, and they had a service where somebody would come in a car and pick her up and take her there if I wasn't able to take her myself. Do they still do that?
Yes, we have a new company that took over, I believe, this year. Correct, Mike?
Correct.
It's called Owl Transportation.
Owl?
Owl.
As in the bird?
Like the bird, yes.
Okay.
So beneficial travel again. If you have questions, their extension at the VA is 4626. So it's 520-792-1450. Then extension 4626 if you have any questions about beneficial travel. We also have DAV.
Correct.
I believe they still assist with veterans that qualify under their program.
Is there a certain mileage area that people have to live in to qualify for to be picked up?
My understanding, no, there isn't. Even in the rural community, I believe that OWL is able to provide those appointments or keep you scheduled to make those appointments.
Now, do they make sure the person actually has an appointment and they're not just going for a ride?
Correct.
Yes.
I thought I'd ask.
They do, and for the most part, just keep in mind, if there's any possible way for those veterans out there that use PO boxes at your primary address, beneficial travel does use physical addresses. So that would be beneficial if you guys update your address to reflect your physical address.
How do you know all this stuff off the top of your head? I mean, you're rattling off phone numbers and websites and extensions. That's amazing.
I told you he's a man. This is why we brought him along.
He's the walking encyclopedia. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a few. Okay, our guests today are the VA transition team, Frankie, Jay, Mike, and Keith. And before we went to break, you know, I'm looking at all these flyers and everything that's happening. We've got a lot going on. So if you didn't get a pencil and paper, you're going to want to go do that while we're talking, because we've got some emails or websites and phone numbers and a lot of activities that are going to be going on in the next couple of months. So we want you to be able to take advantage of that. A lot of them are geared towards our military. And let's talk about this one first. Is healthcare?
Sure, that's the resource fair, the suicide prevention resource fair we were mentioning.
Right.
So again, anybody can come in. This isn't one of the great things about this is We want you to come in before there's a crisis. Exactly. We want family members to come in before there's a crisis. That way, if there is one, you're a little bit more prepared and have the information and the tools in hand. Because in a crisis situation, most of us aren't thinking clearly.
Oh, absolutely. So I want you to know about that. I'll put a lot of this information on our website so people can have access to it. But we were talking about copays and stuff. Frankie, talk about where are you taking it? Keith, talk about what's going on with that.
So I can touch a little bit on the copays, and Frankie will straighten me out if I'm mistaken. But okay. For our veterans that do go out in the community, there may be some copays involved. Also, you know, Sherry, you touched on having other insurance. So if you do have private insurance and you're seen out in the community, so it kind of depends on the status you're being seen under. If you just go out in the community on your own, your insurance will probably be billed. Also, if you go out in the community and you have copays through the VA, you will probably be charged those copays also. Those, if it's a VA copay, it's not going to happen at the provider. The VA will bill that. If a veteran is being seen or treated for a service-connected condition, they should not have any copays at all from that private provider.
Okay, that's good to know. That's a little confusing, though. But, you know, sometimes it's like, how do you determine?
The best way, if you get a bill from your private insurance, call the VA. Yes. And make sure it's correct. You should not actually get a bill from your private insurance. The bill should always come from the VA for a VA appointment. Now, what the VA does is they try and recoup some of the money from private, so therefore they're sending you a notice of how much they paid the VA for those services, not necessarily what you have to pay your private.
So read it before you go. Don't panic.
Correct.
Just read it.
Correct. Read it. Yeah. And again, sure. the VA will try to recoup some of that money from private insurance if it's if possible at all. There's certain circumstances where the VA can recoup that money from private insurance, and we will try to do that as well because everybody wants somebody else to pay.
Well, yeah. I do too.
Mike's got breakfast, so we're all covered.
So if I could add, sure. If you talking about copays and billing within the VA, only if it's through the VA, you could call our revenue or CPAC team. They could be reached at 520-792-1450, extension 5487, and they could explain those charges that were charged to your insurance or just in general copay questions for internal billing only. Thank you.
How do you tell the difference between internal, external, and what does CPAC mean? So there.
it's the consolidation team. We have an embedded team here in Tucson. The main company is out of Las Vegas, but they handle all of our in-house copays that veterans are either have to pay. You know, $15 is actually the criteria for any primary care that you have to pay at the VA, or $50 if you have to pay any specialty type of clinic visit. And also your medications, there's a tier group that is from between $5 and $11 for 30 days supply of medication. Some veterans could possibly get up to 90 days worth of medication, so you just add those.
Is there a certain requirement or circumstance that would allow them to get 90 days of medication, or is that just I asked for it?
Yeah, if the veteran asks for it, most likely the doctor will. The only thing is narcotics. They only give you 30 days worth.
Okay, so you're talking about a tier for the prescriptions.
Yeah, so the tier is basically $5 is a generic brand, up to $11 for name brand.
And that's for everybody?
For everybody. As long as it's in the formula for the VA, definitely they'll try to get you whatever's best fit for you.
Okay.
You should never get a copay for anything service-connected, just a little caveat. So if you're service-connected for an injury, you should never pay any meds or medical expenses for that, even if it's 0%.
Okay, let's talk about that. Not every veteran qualifies for veteran medical, right?
Exactly. Yeah, you're right on point. Yeah, so that's why one of the things with our transition team is we work with the separating vets, Davis Mothen. We're out there with the newly separated vets, usually at the university, Pima Community College, and we're trying to get them this information to get connected. Because one of our things with our transitioning veterans, if they had a deployment to a combat zone, it had to be designated as a combat zone, either receive the hazardous fire pay or the combat zone tax exclusion, and have a general or honorable discharge, they're going to be eligible for VA health care as long as they come to us within the first 5 years of separating. And for Guard and Reservists, it's 5 years after being released from those orders from that deployment. So if they have another deployment, a guardsman or a reservist, that five-year clock will start all over again. And along the lines with the co-pays within that first 5 years, these veterans will receive zero co-pays for any treatment or medication if we can tie it to the deployment. They may have co-pays for other conditions unless they have a rated service-connected disability.
Okay, I know there's an attorney in town who is advertising that he used certain ear protection while he was in the military and it didn't work. Have you seen that ad?
I have.
Okay. How do you prove that's related to your deployment?
Well, that's always tough. Normally to get rated for something, we can see some of the medical records from the military. So that's one of the things that we'll look at. Or do we have reports, especially if they come to us and they're brand new and they have, again, hearing loss. That's not something that usually happens on a one-time thing. I mean, it can, but it's progressive.
It develops.
Right. So especially if they're coming to us early on, the providers would say, yes, it's reasonable to say that this hearing loss was caused, at least from his service anyway. And if, the veteran basically says, yes, I'm firing my weapon, I didn't have my hearing protection in, we try to give the benefit of the doubt to the veteran when all possible.
Or it didn't work, like this guy's claiming.
Right, or exactly, had the hearing protection in, it was faulty.
It wasn't good enough. So, Wow, that's a lot.
It is.
I'm thinking back, how do you prove? Being a paralegal, I'm like, okay, how do you prove?
Right, and for most service-connected disabilities that are adjudicated by the Veterans Benefits Administration, the VBA, the veteran has to show proof that he or she was treated for it in service. So they're going to have to show their medical record. So when they file a disability claim, we recommend they use a veteran service officer. It could be any of them, Arizona Department of Veterans Services, VFW, American Legion, DAV, et cetera. There's a bunch of them out there. They don't charge anything, which is good. You don't have to be a member of that organization to utilize them. But these folks have specialized training and can assist you in filing that claim. But it's kind of up to that service member or veteran to go through their military medical records and point out any chronic conditions that they have and that they were seen for.
So you really need to keep your DD-214 and make sure that you have access to your medical records.
Yes. You can get copies of your medical records on the way out. So when you're separating from the military, you request a copy of your medical records, you'll get a copy of those.
Okay, if I'm somebody else in the field and I see you just bring in a copy, I want it from the source. I don't want it from you.
But they're marked. They're marked official records, and you can kind of see on there. And of course, a lot of the stuff is going electronic now.
So you can add stuff if you want.
Well, you can.
Well, that's
try.
What I'm thinking. Yes. Falsifying records.
Right. So it does happen on rare occasion. I've seen some stories where it has happened on some occasion. They'll get them for fraud. I mean, they have people that investigate, and will go after that individual for fraud.
What happens if you're convicted of fraud?
You're going to lose all your VA benefits for sure. And of course, it's up to the legal folks to take action.
Whether you go to jail or not?
Exactly.
Okay, you have to be careful. And Frankie's going,
Yep.
And nobody wants a federal debt.
Exactly. And I've seen that from my prior position at the VA, where there was many DD-214s that there was information redacted or added. So basically eligibility is going to be your best friend to ask questions as far as just your eligibility in general, or if you want to just get a copy of your DD-214 from the National Archives, they could also have a system that they could print out If you were in service 1990 and forward, they could print it out for you right on the spot. If you have questions, their phone number is 520-792-1450, extension 6572.
He's good, isn't he?
He's cracking me up.
Hey, Frankie, what are the winning lottery numbers?
Yeah, really.
I wish.
You say National Archives. That sounds so old.
So National Archives, basically, there is a website. You could actually go in and request your own medical records.
What is it?
Well, if Keith and Mike could help me with it, it's the storage file department for the VA.
Their banker box is someplace.
Yeah, exactly. And where they're located, I know it's San Luis was one of the bigger ones. And back in the 70s, it actually burnt. So there's a lot of burnt documents there.
Okay, what happens? My documents were burnt. What happens?
I can answer that one.
There you go.
So I've actually helped several vets that didn't have access to either medical records or their admin records. If you can get any type of records proving that you're on active duty, then you can do statements in support of claims from family members, battle buddies, to prove that before you didn't have this problem, after you did. All you need is a 51% probably happened on active duty or due to active service, and you can get service connected for it. You can also get doctor's nexus statement stating that, yes, this knee is far beyond degenerative than a 25-year-old should be. And they can actually tell on certain injuries, whether it's age-related or it's been injured.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. Get your pen and paper ready. We're going to give you all kinds of information to write down. When we come back, we're taking a break. Okay. We are back, and we're going to talk a little bit about the travel and clear a few things up. Frankie?
So just earlier, I mentioned that veterans are eligible for reimbursement. I just want to touch on the criterias for their reimbursement. If you haven't approved a referral or consult to the community or even just an appointment at the VA, beneficial travel will pay you from your house to the appointment and back. But in order to qualify for Benny travel, you have to be 30% or more to qualify for that that travel pay.
30% of what?
30% service connected or more. Sorry about that.
Okay.
Or if you're under 30% and you're being seen for a service connected disability under 30%, you still qualify for that travel pay as well. And the last criteria is if you're under the national pension threshold where you have to report money through your financial means test, I believe a rough estimate is around $13,000 for a single veteran, and like $21,000 for a married couple. If you're under that, you qualify for beneficial travel as well.
Okay, and how does that get billed? Do you have to pay it up front and you get reimbursed, or how does that happen?
No, this is all reimbursement for the veteran, that the VA pays the veteran.
Okay.
Let me add to that. Most recent, we changed that refund to be given to the veteran. If you have a service-connected disability, they'll tie it in with your actual compensation check you get every month. They'll add that amount of reimbursement for travel on that check. Or they give you an actual credit card if you don't have a bank.
I could use one.
Yeah. So that way they could deposit the money into that credit card. But all of that, of course, is you could retrieve that information from Benny Travel. Or just walk in at the local VA. But the phone number for them is, extension is 4626, if you guys didn't catch that earlier.
Okay, we're going to go over some phone numbers and some events that are happening and some websites to check out. Who wants to start?
I can start with the Operation Reintegration that's coming up in October.
Okay.
That's Friday, October 4th from 12 to 2. It's at the VA hospital in the auditorium. Again, we're located at 3601 South 6th Avenue in Tucson. In this one, the Operation Reintegration, working in conglomeration with the Vet Center and at the time the Army Wounded Warrior Program, we saw a lot of our veterans who were separating from service, especially those that are medically separated or medically retired, which means they were physically or had a mental illness or whatever that disqualified them from service. And many of them felt such tremendous loss and grief. They didn't feel whole. They lost that sense of purpose. So this design was to invite resources, community resources, like Team Red, White, and Blue that we talked about, the My Veteran Passion Fitness, Team Rubicon, anything that gets veterans moving or can give back to the community. Habitat for Humanity is another one that's come out quite a bit.
Well, we're looking for board members if anyone wants to be on our board.
There you go. Volunteer stuff, right?
There you go. Yeah.
Just give us a flyer. We'll put it out for you.
Okay.
Yes.
I'm going to do that. Okay.
So that one's October 4th. So then next week we've got a couple of events also. On August 15th is the Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans Resource Fair. That's at the Grand Lux Hotel at 1365 West Grant Road. And it's from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. And the TVSV, or Tucson Veterans Serving Veterans, is just a conglomeration of volunteers, community agencies, federal agencies. The VA is involved. The state, Department of Economic Security, they have disabled veterans outreach program personnel, as well as local vet employment reps that are very involved. A lot of volunteers. And this was initially designed for our homeless vets, and that's still kind of our primary target. But any veteran that can benefit from resources is welcome to come.
Okay. What's next?
We also have the fourth annual Women Warriors event that's going to be at the Doubletree next to Reed Park on 445 South Alvernon Way. And we encourage any women warriors, anyone that previously served or active duty, want to come out, build camaraderie again, get haircuts, clothing, hygiene kits. They're even doing makeovers, so that's some good stuff there.
I could use one of those.
Massages, too. Did you say massage?
Oh, I forgot massages. Sorry. Yeah. My girlfriend's not going to let me live that one down.
Yeah. Okay, what's next?
So also next week on Friday, we have the Cochise County Stand Down, and that's going to be held August 16th from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the Rothery Educational Center on 3335 East Fry Boulevard in Sierra Vista.
What is stand down?
The stand down is when you're in the military, and I know in the Air Force, the biggest one that happened quite a bit was if we had an aircraft crash, an aircraft mishap or something along those lines. Basically, we stop all operations, we take a break and refocus. Okay, what went wrong? What can we do better, et cetera? We've adopted that program for these resource fairs also, because a lot of these folks some of these folks are in pretty bad shape. So it's a time just to kind of call a timeout, refocus, and get our targets back acquired again.
Okay, I want people to understand the outreach that you have. You're not just a Tucson. You have, I found out during break, Yuma?
Correct.
Do you do Casa Grande?
Yes, yes, we've got seven community-based outpatient clinics that fall under the Tucson umbrella. So Yuma, Casa Grande, Sierra Vista, Green Valley, Safford, what am I missing? Northwest.
Northwest what?
Clinic.
There's a clinic, an outpatient clinic on the northwest side of Tucson.
Okay, that's my mother used to.
Yep, Shannon and Ina.
Yeah.
And then there's also one in the southeast Tucson on Houghton and Valencia.
So you guys are busy. You cover a wide area.
California to New Mexico, everything south of Phoenix.
Green Valley as well.
Yes.
So, okay, what else is going on? We covered those events.
So there's a really big concert coming up that Vietnam Veterans of America host on October 19th, 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. And they've actually renamed it to NAM and Sand Jam. They're trying to become our mentors for My Generation Vet. So they're including us in this event. Great music. There'll be food. There'll be beer. So come on out. Have a good time.
Don't
listen to
the
music
beer.
And get some resources, because there's going to be a resource fair there as well.
Okay. You said NAM and Sand?
Sand. S-A-N-D. So that's for everyone that served in the Persian Gulf, basically.
Okay. Mm-hmm. You were going to say something.
Yeah, but there's another one coming up. We've been doing this twice a year now. So this is called PGA Hope. And the HOPE stands for Helping Our Patriots Everywhere. This is a There's a memorandum with the VA and the Professional Golfers Association where they do golf lessons, free golf lessons for veterans. It was initially designed to target the disabled vets. That's still kind of the focus. These professionals that teach this have specialized training, and that starts on 7 October, and it goes through Veterans Day, November 11th. And you could email me at michael.ramsey2, the number 2, at va.gov, or Deborah Martinez-Garibay. She's at dmartinez.garibay@gmail.com.
So you do that to sign up?
Correct. To sign up or get more information.
Okay. Is there a phone number or a website that we can throw out there?
Come on, Frankie.
Give us a phone number.
Yeah, there's a Facebook page. Okay. There is a Facebook page that they can go to.
PGA Hope.
PGA Hope Tucson.
Okay.
And they can call my phone number as well. And that's, Frankie, you want to go ahead?
Yeah, come on, Frankie.
Extension 6261 at the Tucson VA. That's directly to Mike Ramsey.
Absolutely. And that main number again is 520-792-1450.
Okay. What else do we have coming up? I don't want to leave here without covering everything. We've got 2 minutes. Everybody's looking through their notes.
So the Tucson Vet Center does a first Friday of the month barbecue. Veteran out there that may be hesitant to get mental health counseling, I definitely suggest you come into the Tucson Vet Center. Our confidentiality in the way we do mental health counseling prevents the main VA and DOD from ever finding out that you're getting mental health. How we get around it is it's set up like peer-to-peer counseling, even though it's clinical. We do no diagnosis. If there's no diagnosis, no label. Plus, 70% of our counselors nationwide are veterans, so it's a little easier to talk to another vet. But we do have civilians because some veterans would rather talk to a civilian. So I definitely recommend the first Friday of every month from 2 o'clock in the afternoon to 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We do barbecue. Come on out, meet some of our clients, meet some of our staff, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
How much does it cost?
For you, Mike, that's $100.
All right.
For everyone else, it's free.
I like free.
So family members can come out and get information at this every Friday?
First Friday of the month. Family members are welcome to come in anytime. They can talk with me. We're located at 2525 East Broadway, Suite 100. The cross street would be Tucson and Broadway, the northeast corner, big copper-colored DeConcini building. I don't recommend you wait until the first Friday to get information.
Right.
Come in as soon as you can. And I have office hours every Tuesday and Wednesday from 0730 to 5:30 p.m. I work 10-hour days and very rarely take lunch, so there's no excuse not to come and see me.
That's right. I think we should all go see him on Tuesday. Let's line up. Make him nuts. Okay. I want to remind everybody, too, that we've got an event coming up on the 8th of September. If you would go to lawmatters1030.org, you can see the information about the event, and you can actually buy tickets there. Next week, we will be talking about sex trafficking. And until then, I want everybody to shop local and stay safe.